Good evening, everyone. My name is Lindsay Watson, and this is Influence Unplugged. Tonight's guest is the one and only Jasmine Warren, CEO and founder of Be Skintiful Aesthetic Spa, right here headquartered in the Lehigh Valley. Oh, Jasmine, we are so excited. First and foremost, we need to just establish that you are the first.
Yes.
Here in this community to do what you do.
Yes.
We love acknowledging that. We love acknowledging first here at Influence Unplugged. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
A little bit about aesthetics, right? We were talking about what exactly is it. So you are the first of your kind as an owner here, as a woman of color,
yes,
to provide these services. Would you mind breaking down for us? What is aesthetics?
Aesthetics is skincare. Anything rejuvenating the skin, amplifying your look, enhancing it with makeup is aesthetics. You name it. That goes from moisturizer to lashes to doing your brows to getting facials to it's all aesthetics. If it's anything that applies to the skin, consider it aesthetically being enhanced.
That's amazing. So you are certified. You've got your certifications.
Yes.
Can you walk us through that journey? We were talking before mm-hmm. the interview actually started, right?
Mm-hmm.
The difference between cosmetology and aesthetics and what led you to go this route.
Yeah. Just a little bit of background on me. I'm from Michigan, born and raised in Pontiac. I come from a small family. Mm-hmm. My mom, my brother, raised in a household of Christian believers. And with that, being in church, you know, you always are putting on your Sunday best. So I watch my mother getting up early in the morning, getting her makeup prepared for church, getting her dresses and shoes and us ready, and down to my grandmother. And it was kind of my family, beauty. Like, everyone was always going to the store buying their lipsticks, buying their nail polish, getting their hair done. So I was that little girl that was always sitting with her mom either at a hair salon, at a hair store, or a beauty store, as we call it, or in the beauty counters of different department stores. And that's where I found my love of makeup. My mom was a makeup artist for, God knows, I want to say 10 plus years of my life.
Wow.
And we would go anywhere from church events, and she would do the makeup for the church concerts, mm-hmm. Down to doing the guest speakers and weddings. And my aunt is a Mary Kay rep for a plus year, so we did makeup parties at her house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You remember those?
I remember those.
Skincare parties. And shout out to any Mary Kay consultants out there. Mary Kay still is thriving and surviving this beauty industry. Mm-hmm. That's one of the longest ones that I know of.
Absolutely.
And being now that I'm 35, I wanted to go into makeup because I love doing makeup for my friends and myself. And I was even doing hair out of my house growing up from middle school to high school to college. It was from there where I moved here to the Valley from Michigan, following my career in automotives.
Yep.
Being from Michigan, we have the automotive industry there that's really, you know, is our founding industry. So I followed that dream of being the second generation person to work for General Motors in the automotive industry. And I came here to live during my career. And that's when I found that, hey, the Lehigh Valley is very, very multicultural. Is a very melting pot space compared to Michigan.
Sure.
There wasn't as many beauty hubs, salons, stores that we can go to, women of specifically color and women of all backgrounds, that can find a range of beauty products or services that fit them.
Mm.
And I was like, you know what? This is an opportunity that I feel like I can tap into. I always had an entrepreneurial spirit. It was probably one of my best classes that I actually excelled in all of my school tenure was entrepreneur class. And I knew I wanted to own a salon then. That was what my entrepreneur class presentation was on, owning my own beauty shop and boutique together.
Mm.
And God made it where it came to fruition here in the Valley to start a makeup spa. And I went to our local beauty school here, Metro, and I said, hey, I want to be certified in makeup. And they were like, okay, what's your vision? What do you want to do with mm-hmm. makeup? I'm like, well, I want to open my own makeup bar. And they're like, oh, okay, that's great. Well, you need to become an esthetician or a cosmetologist.
Okay. So what's the difference?
And they said, well, cosmetology, you can do everything from hair, nails, and skin.
Okay.
I said, okay, I'm familiar with the hair part of cosmetology. What is an esthetician? They said they specialize in makeup and skincare.
Mm.
I said, oh, that is unique. I never heard of it. But that is something that goes hand in hand with my vision. You got to know a little bit about a skincare to apply makeup or have a nice flawless application.
Absolutely.
You have some skincare steps to take before you can get that nice flawless makeup application that you're doing at home or getting at a brick and mortar.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I was like, you know what? I want to do aesthetics. And from there, that's how I end up becoming an esthetician. And it was only a 6-month program.
You're saying only 6 months. You only moved here from Michigan to a brand new land. You only decided to do a makeup bar. So maybe your definition of only may be a little bit different to some people
that
listening
could be
true. I'm very impressed. And you're so young.
Yeah.
You're so young to have accomplished so much. So
Thank you. When
you decided for Be Skintiful to be,
mm-hmm.
right, it was here in the Lehigh Valley.
Yes.
And so you went from makeup bar, really, to you have a brick and mortar. So
yes.
You've got your own dedicated space where, you know, customers can come in, book appointments for an array of services. How did that evolve? What led you to saying, you know what, I'm going to go for it big time?
I would say this. I'm a little bit of what you would consider impulsive. I would do something that comes to mind and say, I can achieve it. I'm just that type of person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm whatever God gives me in vision, I'm like, I can accomplish it. And I think, to be honest, I wish I wasn't as impulsive of starting out with a brick and mortar. But, you know, everybody have their own path that they have to take to get to learning. Some of the decisions that you make may be some decisions you should slowly progress into, like short-term plans, long-term plans.
Yeah, real talk.
And I didn't do that. I was just like, hey, I have a career. My career is doing really well for me. I'm going to do this as a side hobby and hustle to, you know, bring, you know, something else to my passion and my career. You know,
mm-hmm.
we can get so weighed down with just doing the 9-to-5 that that's really not where you're passion is, but it's paying the bills
mm-hmm.
and you feel accomplished because you're working in a corporation or a company that you wanted to work for forever. And I did. And so I was like, okay, this is fulfilling, but not fulfilling enough. What can I feel more fulfilled? I'm like, well, I really love makeup and skincare. So go ahead and do this as a side thing to kind of balance yourself out. And from there, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to just open up a spa or beauty bar. And I was like, okay, you got the money to start it. And not everybody have that advantage. So I had the advantage of having
You're right.
the resource of capital to
Yep.
start. So that's where I felt very confident.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side of my confidence, I had to mature in being an entrepreneur, owning my brick and mortar, because I had to go through the hurdles of now how to open up a write a business plan, how to go to City Hall and actually start your business license.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into that thinking, okay, you just go down there, you apply for your application, you find a location, and you're good. No, that's not the case at all. You have to see if you're legally zoned to open up your business in this particular location of interest. You know, for any entrepreneur out there that's looking to only open their own brick and mortar, you have to be zoned to open up a retail store.
Mm.
And that's what aesthetics or cosmetology is zoned in the eye of our local municipal. So I went and found a space I loved. Come to find out the space is not zoned for retail. It's only zoned for commercial business, offices, living, residential.
And there's a difference between that and retail.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay. And at this time in 2017, there weren't many newer brick and mortar established commercial spaces that was fitted for retail. So we were still dealing with an antiquated Allentown. It was getting there. We were gentrifying, but it wasn't gentrified enough for what should have been made for a spa business.
Mm.
Like, all the salons were already, like, established, running. They weren't being sold or rented out. So you really had to find a space that was not occupied
and
transition it into this beauty space. And from there, I said, okay, well, I'm not going to be defeated or deterred from a no from the city. And I had to go in front of the zoning board and petition why my business should be at this location mm-hmm. of choice that is not zoned as a retail space. And I told them exactly, I'm a first black owned spa owner that's going to be doing aesthetics
mm-hmm.
and makeup for women of all backgrounds. I would love to be the first in Allentown where my church family and my church home is at. Like, I want to start and put value and equity back into the city with my business. And just so happened, the zoning president at the board who was like, I like your vision. It's giving me Philly Rittenhouse Square. I would never forget that. And I was like,
wow,
that's exactly where I wanted my business, in Rittenhouse Square. I was actually looking in Philly at first. And I was like, that's just too much of a commute from Allentown to Philadelphia.
Yeah. And Allentown had, at that time, there was a lot going on, but not a lot manifested just yet, right?
Yes.
A lot of vision and buildings and construction. So the fact that you went ahead, first of all, with your integrity and went the right way to get the zoning and the licenses first is amazing. But then also being able to go in front of a bunch of people you didn't know, probably not looking like you.
No.
To be able to present as a first that this was the vision you had for that community is amazing. Hats off to you.
Thank you. I like that you put that it wasn't receptive to me, because it was so many times when I went to City Hall and to the zoning area, and so many times I was being deterred, like literally saying, no, this is not going to happen. You got to put your money down, and there still may be a no. And I'm like, well, until I get that final no, I'm going to come back here and do everything that you're telling me I need to do to at least get an answer on what my vision is. Is there a yes or no for me to go forward or not?
Yeah.
And with the persistence, I was able to get a yes. So do not be deterred from no at City Hall. You keep pushing the envelope until that envelope has to be open and read and said, okay, you know, we agree or we disagree. And then, okay, let's work around it if we can. But it was definitely an opportunity where I felt like I was being influential for the people that's coming behind me, the women of color, the girls and boys of color that want to open their own business at a young age. Like, I was 27.
Right.
I was very young. I never had to be in front of people of that caliber to say, you know, make a decision for me like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like my dream is in your hands. You know, that was kind of how I felt. But to God be the glory.
Yes.
I got the yes. So
you got the yes. So fast forward 2017, 2025, it's a whole different Allentown.
Yes.
Yes. There's so much more opportunity, spaces to rent, as you mentioned.
Yes.
I mean, we've been here since 2013. So you're right. Back in 2017, there's still a lot that was yet to have come to pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk to us a little bit about your space now and the types of services you have available?
Yes, absolutely. So Beskintiful is still located in Allentown, 801 North 19th Street in Allentown.
19th and what? What's the cross street?
I would say the cross street is Washington, or the biggest cross street would be Tillman. So 19th and Tillman.
Okay.
Yes. So not too far from Lily Sushi House. If anybody like Lily Sushi or heard of it, I'm literally a couple blocks down the street. But I currently service and specialize in brows, lashes, facials, and I would say body laser hair removal.
Okay, so four specialties.
Four specialties.
That's amazing. Where can people go to find you on social media?
My business social media handle is Beskintiful. Lehigh Valley Spa, Beskintiful Lehigh Valley Spa, or you can follow me personally as Touched by SD, and that's ESTIE Jasmine, and that's short for esthetician. We call ourselves Estes.
Okay, Estes. Yeah. I love it.
Your Estes bestie right here.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing, because the journey of having a brick and mortar is very different from the journey of having services-based business.
Yes.
And at Influence Unplugged, we've talked with a lot of amazing folks. As you were sharing, I said, you know, I think we've probably interviewed more service-based business owners as opposed to brick and mortar, retail, product-based, right? So you're still offering services, but yours require a location, right? You can't do this from home, right?
You can, but I have found it where it can be a little intrusive when you work from home. You don't get that sense of the balance of this is your space, your personal space, and this is your working space. So I would say it always works out if you're doing it from home, if you have like a separate entrance to allow your customers to come or clients to come in and out of.
Okay.
And I have seen it be done, and it has, and someone that does it as an actual nail owner, and it's done well. So if you do it, you could do it from home, but I would just say have your own entrance for your clients to come in and out of. So you have that little privacy or partition. But for me, I didn't have that. So I felt like I needed to go to having a brick and mortar.
Yeah.
And I did try to start with a salon. Shout out to Michael Perry Studios.
Hey, Michael. We know you.
He is one of the longest black entrepreneur salons that I know of out here in the Valley.
Absolutely.
And I got to get mentored and a career opportunity to work for him for about a month. And he saw my entrepreneur spirit. He was like, girl, you're good. You need to go ahead and open your space. You can do this. He really was like the catapult for me to say, you know, you don't have to start this way, but it was good to at least see another Black entrepreneur salon owner take me under his wing and show me how to get to where I am now.
Thank you so much. This is Influence Unplugged, and you have most certainly been an influence to us tonight. We appreciate you so much.
Appreciate you more, Lindsay.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. This is Lindsay Watson with Influence Unplugged, and we'll see you again real soon.
For the past three decades, WDIY has sustained itself through direct contributions from listeners. Our model is simple. The people who listen to the service are the ones who support the service. As WDIY celebrates its landmark 30th anniversary, we invite you to join us as a WDIY member by making a membership gift today. This is something you could do right now to make a meaningful difference in your community. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or online at wdiy.org.
Good evening, everyone. This is Lindsay Watson with Influence Unplugged. We're so happy to have you here with us tonight. I am super thrilled and honored to introduce the one and only David Robertson.
Hey.
Founder and CEO of Joshua, an amazing, fast-growing nonprofit here in the Lehigh Valley, and a career executive at Shift 4. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, David.
Hey, Lindsay. We made it. We're on the air together.
The good thing is we've been busy and you've been busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Influence Unplugged is really about talking about the person behind the dreams and the visions, right? And so I'd love for the audience to hear a little bit more about you, David, and then we'll jump into all the amazing things you're doing.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you for having me. We've known each other for a little bit. I've been watching you running your race. So keep up the great work. But
thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks for taking an interest in David, the person. You know, I grew up in Oklahoma. We'll start with grassroots.
Yeah.
We're actually born in Houston, really, when I was a little guy, moved to Oklahoma. And then after school, I decided to head west in Tucson, Arizona, right out of school. And just like anyone out of college, looking for work. And I ended up landing in the financial technology space. We'll call it fintech.
Mm-hmm.
There, I started working kind of behind the scenes as the credit card processor. So if you swipe the card, it's the company behind the scenes giving you the receipt. And then one of our biggest customers walked through the door, you know, the founder of United Bancard at the time, Shift 4, Jared Isaacman, and his team. And I was blown away how young they were. Mm. As you know his story, he was 16 years old when he started this organization. And I saw how young he was, and I was just like, I must work for that company because they were doing awesome stuff. Anyway, my opportunity came where I joined the team out in Tucson, Arizona. And ever since then, my skill set has always been to start up businesses or start up an idea.
Mm.
If you follow our history of Shift 4, we've been around for 26 years. I've been there for 21 years.
There you go.
Right. So there was less than 100 of us. Now we're, you know, worldwide, globally, you know, one of the most dynamic financial technology companies.
Mm-hmm.
But if I looked at my trail there, my ideas or my skill set was always to see a vision. You know, Jared was a very visionary CEO, forward thinking. But to be able to see the vision for what it was, connect the dots, but then be able to put the right people in the room and then drive results. You know, that's always been my skill set. It's to see an idea and then drive the results and execute with urgency. We say like boldly forward. So from then, I moved from like Tucson, and then we started another division in Boston. So I went from Tucson to Boston.
What a difference in climate.
Yeah. Yeah. Like extreme 120 degree heat to like mountains of snow.
Yeah.
But duty called. So relocated to start another division from Tucson to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And then another project launched in New Jersey, which is home base for Shift 4 at the time. Started another division, which is our point of sale systems. Like you go to a restaurant, you touch the screen to order a meal. But I helped launch that project. And then from there, you know, UBC or United Bancard, now Shift 4, moved to the Lehigh Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And then we called this place our home for many of years. And here I continued my journey and then ended up working on the merger and acquisitions team. So I led, as we started to grow by way of acquisition, I led the work streams there. So think about two companies have two ways of onboarding an account. My task was to see both of those rails and then mold them into one. That's always fun because, you know, when you buy a company, you know, you're kind of taking one culture and trying to tuck it under another. So there's a lot of egos, personalities. So you have to navigate through a lot of that, but then to really unite around the vision. But at the end of the day, you got to get to work. So I've always been around projects, people, execution, just very visionary. But to have the vision, but also to be able to execute on it and see the good in individuals makes us move mountains. And so
I got a question for you.
Sure.
First of all, you just casually said, you know what it's like buying a business. You know, you think they're just supposed to become like you. Yeah. Hats off to you, sir, for being a man of color in this community, being a part of huge mergers and acquisitions and talking about it like it's a random Tuesday. We see you.
Yeah, well, that's all I know. So
I love it. But there was one thing you said right in the beginning, and I hope this is encouraging to our listeners. You said you saw a company, you loved how they operated, you saw how young they were, and you said, I got to be a part. What did you do to prepare so that when that opportunity came for you to be a part, you were ready and you were hired?
I believed in myself, and I said, I want to be part of something great. Mm. And I stepped with courage, and, you know, I just believe in myself. I believe in my faith. You know, I champion my gift and moved with confidence, made a lot of friends, worked really hard. Mm. I guess I would also say I knew them before I asked, but I believe there's a formula. You know, when you earn the trust and respect of someone, you have the right to ask, right?
Powerful.
And I worked hard for them before I joined the team. Like, they were tough. They were very fast paced, but I kept up with them and they had issues. I responded. Mm-hmm. I followed through. I held myself accountable. I drove results. And then when the opportunity came, they were like, we would love to have you, because, you know, they just knew my work ethics and how I took pride in everything that I did, every ticket they sent to me. So I really believe that I earned the trust and respect. And then I saw an opportunity. So without hesitation, I took it.
Ah, that is an amazing roadmap. Thank you for sharing that. This is the essence of who you are, the person, right? Mm-hmm. And you've really taken everything you just described and now applied it to Joshua.
Sure did. All power. That's right.
Let's dive right in. Can you share with us as much as you can in a short amount of time about Joshua, a very fast-growing nonprofit here in Lehigh Valley?
Yeah, Joshua was founded about 2 years ago in honor of my little brother, Joshua Robertson. And we lost him to modern-day challenges that the youth is facing. And so with the background you just heard, we thought about getting our hat in the ring to help the youth develop.
Yeah.
Just like anything, when you have a startup, you know, you're trying to figure yourself out, you know, trying to solve a problem. It starts off very complex. And then you, with resilience and determination, the vision starts to clear more and more and more on that, solving that problem. And what we just want to do is help young kids find their Joshua, which is their leadership, their passion, their superhero within, to unlock it. And we're a generation that we see the world differently. You know, I'm 41. Most of the people on our board is about 38, 39. Mm. And so with that, I can say, Joshua, we're bridge builders. So we're working within youth-focused organizations, helping the kids cross five pillars into the land of leadership. Mm. And those pillars are financial literacy, public speaking, digital wellness, which no one is teaching on that, where we can give you a healthy digital diet, you know,
amazing,
and really meeting the kids where they're at, health and wellness and career readiness. I like to say, like, if you want a visual, you know, picture this young, talented young person on an island, and they're looking at an island afar, and they're like, I'm a leader. I know I am, but I need to get to that island of leadership. But what stands between them is troubled waters, and those waters are wild. That's where mental health is, substance abuse, opioid. My little brother Josh fell in those waters and we lost him. Yeah. But then all of a sudden that there's a bridge that's built. Mm-hmm. And now there's a pathway. And shining bright in the light is Joshua. And now that kid can have a pathway to leadership and then gaining some critical skills that are not being taught in an organized manner. So Joshua, we're building those bridges. You know, the George Washington Bridge, someone had to have the vision to build that, design it, and strategically orchestrate that. And so we're bringing that concept to every group that has the youth that needs to streamline their leadership curriculum and make it in a way where it's easy. So we're helping to build those bridges as project managers, visionaries, and executors.
Define youth. What age range are we talking about?
I would say between 9, 10, up to, you know, sophomore years. I realize seniors, they kind of are checked out. So we like to, you know, from 9, 10 on up to, you know, 16, 17 would be a great spot to start molding this concept into them.
That's amazing. So for anyone listening who's saying, hey, I have expertise in one of those five pillars, how can they reach you, and how do you consider folks who may want to support and volunteer?
Yeah, well, if you go to joshway.org, there is a Join Us tab. When you fill that out, you'll get on our radar, tell us what you're up to. But our concept is so out of the box. It's like, how did you build Joshway in 2 years? And I'm going to give everyone the secret.
Okay, wait, drum roll.
Yeah. technology, AI, delegate. Like, there's so much people and so much help out there to be able to see the good and to use technology, use AI. It's such an unlock. And to be able to put the right people in the room and delegate, you can move mountains. There's only five of us at Joshway, and we all work full-time jobs, and we all have a full family, and we all have families.
We have families, yeah.
And we were crazy enough to go build a nonprofit, like in like now, like 38, 39. We're crazy, but it needs to be done. I think the last piece I'll say on that, I laugh because I have a little boy, two boys, but my littlest one is Luca. And the way I see is Joshway is stepping in between two generational gaps. And the lessons that are traditional are important. We need to get those to the kids. So imagine me giving little Luca his vitamin in the morning. I watch him. He's like, I'm not taking that. I'm like, Luca, you got to take your vitamins. And he's like, I don't want to take that. But if you go in the cabinet and you get like applesauce and you crush the vitamin in there and you give it to him, then he takes it. Yeah, so that's like Joshway. We're taking these liberal arts, these skill sets that's been around for years, or these lessons. But then we're taking the vitamin and crushing it in applesauce and giving it to the kids.
Yeah.
And the crushing of that is easy. We take liberal arts and we tie it into technology. So when you teach financial literacy, that's great. That's liberal arts. You must meet the kids where they're at. So you got to tie that back into technology. So hand them an iPad, open the app Numbers, and let me show you how to build a spreadsheet. Or if this is public speaking, you can craft a presentation or a speech, but open up that same iPad. I need you to open up Keynote. And every pillar ties back to a digital technology, and our camp has that skill set to now empower the youth, not just with liberal arts, but technology as well.
Yeah. This is amazing. I look forward to your masterclasses as Joshway continues to grow, because I think your approach is everything you just said, and that technological and AI component, I can imagine would be helpful for a lot of other nonprofits who are facing challenges, right? And finding ways to do things faster and better.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about you. We talked about your background. We talked about all the climates you don't lived in, Oklahoma, Arizona, Boston, right? So, and we talked about Shift 4 and your amazing career, how you got there, and then Joshway. What's going on with Joshway now? It's hard for me to keep up, which I love, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Scrappy and fast.
Yes.
I do stuff.
Yes, I love it. But so you've got some amazing things going on. Would you mind sharing a little bit about that with us?
Yeah, so PBS 39 is going to air a 10-minute special on us. Super excited for that. I got a chance to sit and watch it with Brittany Sweeney and the team. And man, it moved me. She had to hand me like a tissue.
Shout out to Brittany.
Yeah, shout out to Brittany. I appreciate you and everyone that supported the project. So we have that. We are launching our first children's book, Joshway and the Power of Resilience. So if you go to joshway.org, you can pre-order it now. Shout out to you, Glenn, for writing the book and bringing my little brother back to life. There's a special unlock in that book, and I don't want to steal his shine, but I hope everyone is blessed by it and moved by it. And, you know, it's such an awesome, awesome book. Incredible. He wrote that book in 15 minutes. Josh wrote that book to tell you this.
Sometimes it happens when that inspiration hits and it's divine. It just.
And then outside of that, we're you know, constructing a couple of bridges in the community. You know, Miller Symphony Hall and El Sistema, my special friends there. And we got to build some bridges. So we're under construction right now and hoping that we can build as many Joshway bridges within the community that have the youth that's out there. So I'll give you our top three. There's so much more, but that's that for now. Yeah.
Thank you for that. This is amazing. joshway.org. Please, everyone, visit and find ways you can support. There's plenty of pillars to pick from, right? Mm-hmm. And David, we just want to continue to uplift and support everything you're doing. And thank you for everything you're doing here in the Lehigh Valley and for joining us on Influence Unplugged.
Yeah, thank you for having me, friend.
My name is Lindsay Watson. This is Influence Unplugged, and we'll see you next time.